Well, good morning, True North fam. How you feeling? It's a new year. Give me some energy out there. How we feeling today? So good to see you. You know, I said to Autumn, my wife, last Sunday when we didn't have church. I know we give everybody off that last Sunday of the year, just volunteers, staff. It's just a long year. Christmas season is really busy, and so we really feel like to honor everybody. That's the right thing to do. But man, when I wake up Sunday morning and I'm not here, it's always weird, and I always wish I was here. And so I'm glad, so glad to be back here on this Sunday morning with you. It's going to be a little bit different kind of service this morning. I want to let you know that if you're joining with us maybe for the first time. It's going to be a different kind of service today, but I think it's going to be one that's really powerful and impactful for everybody. Before we dive in kind of to the heart or the meat here of the sermon here this morning, I wanted to share a couple of quick things as we head into this new year. One, we just started our all-church Bible reading plan called The Path. We created something new this year. It's an actual physical journal that many of you have purchased and are starting that plan. And I wanted to give a quick, first of all, encouragement to you as we're starting the year. It's a chapter a day, challenging everybody to be in the Word a chapter a day. And so hopefully you're off to a great start already. We do have an email distribution list that is going to be sent out every Monday. Anybody who purchased the journal, you'll get a quick little email in your inbox on Monday mornings. We're going to have some guest bloggers, guest soap bloggers that will be putting in there on Mondays as a little bit of an encouragement to you. Just to, help keep us accountable as we work through that throughout the year. One quick note on that you may not realize is the way the plan is built is that on Sundays, actually, there's no day for Sunday. What we've actually are encouraging you to do is to bring your soap journal with you on Sundays and you'll see at the end of each month, there'll be a couple of different Sunday message pages. Bring those and you can use those to journal during the Sunday morning messages and do your soap method as we study the scriptures here together on Sunday morning. So if you weren't aware of that, just wanted to make sure that you knew that. And then the second thing I wanted to share, something we're trying new this year, is we are doing something called our World Changers Appreciation Gala. And so what that means is if you are someone who volunteers here at True North Church in any way, you're serving here in any way, any capacity, we want to honor you and make sure you know how much we value you and appreciate you. And so in years past, we've done like, $10 Chick-fil-A or Jersey Mike's gift cards or whatever. And that's nice, but that always just feels so like not enough in my book for all that the people around here do to help True North be what True North is. And so what we want to do that evening is we just want to really honor you. We want to celebrate you. We want to take some time to just celebrate as a church family, those of us who are serving. So it's going to be a really fun night. We're going to have a really nice catered meal. We're going to have kind of like a red carpet theme to that night. And so we're literally going to roll out the red carpet for you, have a really nice meal. We're going to have some great raffle prizes that we're going to give away. We're actually going to recognize our very first World Changer of the Year. Somebody that we just look at over the last year and go, wow, they really they went above and beyond expectation to serve here at True North. And so the last thing I'll say on that is if you are someone who served here, that's going to be on January 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a Thursday night. If you serve here at True North Church, we want you at this event. It won't be the same without you. And so if you have that available in your calendar and your schedule, please, please, please make plans to be here with us that evening. We will have childcare provided. So if you have kids, you won't have to worry about that. We're going to get dressed up a little bit. Again, it's going to be a gala. Just, you don't need to wear, suit and tie. But we're going to get dressed up a little bit and have a really fun night together. So you can do that on our website, truenorthpgh.org. You can get there by going to the QR code. But super excited to celebrate all of you who call True North Church home and are serving here regularly. But hey, as we kick off the new year here, like I said, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. One of the things I don't think we're very good at as Christians, particularly just in the midst of the busyness and kind of the chaos of life, is we're not great at kind of stopping and reflecting on all of the good things that God is doing in our lives, particularly when times are tough. And sometimes times are really tough. I know that. And as we head into this year, I know that some of you are going through difficult things, hard things. But I know for me, one of the most helpful things that I can do as I kind of navigate the challenges of this life is just to stop and remember all the good things that God has done in my life and how he's changed me. And most of all, ultimately, just reflect on the gospel, right? Everything we do around here in this church, and if you're new, you're going to find this out very quickly, is centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's Jesus came into this mess of a world and into the mess that was my life and saved me, redeemed me from a life of purposelessness and a lack of hope and a life that was ultimately headed for death and destruction. And he died, put himself on the cross to save me from having to go through that. And so every day, I know it's hard, but I want to wake up and I want to remember that. I want to reflect on that because that brings hope and joy in the midst of all circumstances. And at the end of the day, what I want and why we exist as a church is we want people in this world to experience what we've experienced in Christ. We want them to know that same hope, have that same joy, have that same peace that we have, right? And so one of the best ways that we can do that to help other people know that and experience that is to actually share the story that Jesus has done in our life. How has he impacted us, right? I think we all know this. You know this. Stories are powerful, aren't they? It's the reason we love books. It's the reason we love movies, right? Stories have impact. In fact, I would say most of the time, if you're listening to a sermon, the thing that you're going to remember the most is the story that's told, whether it's the story being told in the actual scriptures or a story that the pastor tells, right? That's the thing that kind of sticks out in your mind. Stories are powerful. And throughout the scriptures, we see many, many people who have a story to tell about what Jesus has done in their lives. One guy that comes to mind for me is the Apostle Paul. If you don't know who the Apostle Paul is, Paul was a guy who was, he would say, this is how he described himself, was zealous for the law. He had a passion for the law of God. And that passion for the law actually led him to persecute Christians. He was so ingrained in the old ways of Judaism that when Christ came along, he rejected Jesus. Until one day, Paul is traveling on this road. They call it the road to Damascus. He's on this journey to this town called Damascus, and he has this crazy, like, life-altering, transformative encounter with Jesus. Jesus grabs a hold of him, right? And he has this moment where he's blinded for 3 days, and then his eyes are reopened, and when it opened back up, right, all of a sudden he's a believer. And from there, his life begins to change. And if you know the history and the story of Paul, Paul goes on to write half the New Testament. He goes on to be the first church planter in the world and plants churches all over the ancient world. We would not be here today, probably, if it weren't for the efforts of Paul. And so I say all that to say this. Every believer, whether it's Paul and like one of the most kind of famous guys in the history books of the church, or whether it's you sitting here today and you are a follower, a believer in Jesus, some things have transpired in your life. You went from someone who did not know Christ. You did not have a faith in Jesus. You did not believe in who he was, to a moment where you did believe. You had an encounter with Jesus. Something changed. You began to follow him. And now something is different in your life. Anybody out there, can I just ask the question? After you met Jesus, did anything change? Right? Are you a different person now than you were before? I hope so. Absolutely, yes. And yes, we're all a work in progress. I am the first one that will get in line and say, man, I have so many rough edges that Jesus is still chiseling away in my life. I haven't arrived, right? But something massive has changed in my life. And so at the end of the day, here's what we want. And here's kind of why we're starting the new year this way. If Jesus has done something in our lives, man, we got to talk about it. We got to tell the story of what Jesus has done. Because I don't think there's anything more powerful, more effective as a tool, if you will, to help people begin to follow Jesus than for us to simply share the story of where we've been, and how we met Jesus and where we are now because of it. And so this morning, we're going to have an opportunity here to listen to a testimony, two testimonies, actually, of some folks in our church who God has done some amazing things. And so I want to invite up Kedron and Amber Sonderecker. Come on, give them a hand. And come on up here. I'm actually going to slide over to this one because I want you guys front and center here. Let's give you guys these mics. You guys can have a seat there. And so I asked Keijan and Amber to come up and just kind of share their stories with us this morning. I think it's just so powerful to see. You know, it's one thing for the pastor to get up, right, and talk about Jesus, right? That's what I'm supposed to do, right? It's another thing to hear from people in our congregation who are just like you and who've had their lives transformed. And so thank you guys so much for being willing to do this. I know it can make some people uncomfortable. They say that public speaking is like the top number one fear for most people. And so getting up here and doing this, I just so appreciate that and their hearts to share this morning. And so ultimately, I want to just kind of open it up to you guys, you know, with the first question that's really open-ended, and you guys can kind of take it where you want. But talk to me a little bit about, you know, your testimony. What were you like before Jesus, and kind of what was transpiring in your life? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm Keijan. So I guess I'll just start at the beginning because that'll probably hopefully make more sense. So I grew up in a Christian household. It was a very loving, awesome household. No complaints. It was an amazing childhood. And I was actually five. Both my parents were Christians. I was five when my mom's like, do you want to have Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus in your heart? And I was like, yeah, I want to do that. And so I remember that's like my first memory I have of having a relationship with Jesus. And we just sat down and I prayed, you know. I was like, hey, God, Jesus, save me. I need you. Please come into my life and come into my heart. And so that's like my core memory from that. Obviously, I didn't understand a lot of the theological stuff, but elementary school and middle school, we were going to church and consistently and just, you know, doing all the things Wednesday, Sundays consistently. And then it was just learning more about Jesus and who he was and what he did for us on the cross and everything. And then I was about 12 years old when something big happened. Well, not huge, but it was big in my life. So I was going over to a friend's house and I'd go over and I'd play M-rated game, and I was like 12, so obviously I wasn't allowed to play this game, right? So, and every time I'd come back home, I'd be like really like guilty and just like, you know, just felt horrible about it. But then I'd go over and do it again, you know, and just, you know, and I'd just cycle through it. But then I was like, it built too much. So I just went to my mom. I'm like, listen, I have been doing this, like, and I thought she was gonna be absolutely mad, you know, and like, you know, so I was like really scared and everything, but she just showed me grace, and she was like, you know, she said, don't do it again, but thank you for telling me, and like, you're not in trouble or anything, but, you know, I'm just happy you were able to share that with me. And so then it just kind of clicked to me. I'm like, man, that's what Jesus does for us, and the grace he gives us is like, we deserve punishment, but he just gives us grace and mercy. So that really like clicked in. So I was like, okay, that, you know, that makes sense now. And so then I went through high school I'd say that's my era of like trying to figure out the truth, because I had this like major fear in my life that I was like, man, I was just raised a Christian. Maybe that's like the only reason I believe in Christianity at this point. And so I was like really worried about that. I'm like, what if I was born in a Buddhist house? I would be a Buddhist. And that's just because I was raised. So I was like just searching and, you know, digging deep in questions and stuff. And I had a lot of doubts. But, like, every time Jesus, like, it just went back to Jesus. And, like, I'm like, man, this is the truth. Like, this is the only thing that makes sense that's in my life. So, and I see him moving in my life constantly, you know. Just too many coincidences for it to not be true. So, so that was high school. And then college happened and went into a bad spell. Because I wouldn't say too confident, but, like, I was, like, aware of God's grace at that point. So I'm like, okay, well, if I do something, if I mess up, he'll just, you know, give me grace. And so I was basically abusing grace. My friends and I started drinking and stuff like that in college. And so that was really tough. And I knew at that time, I was like in Proverbs and Psalms, there's all these verses that are like, you are the company you keep. So I was like, my growth spiritually is stunted. So it's just, my friend group, it wasn't like a healthy relationship. It wasn't not healthy, but at the same time, you know, they weren't Christians. So was like, I wanted a new, I wanted a church community, and it was deep down, but I was going through, like, the cycles of just going back and forth and just constantly, you know, and I was repented, like, I was repenting at the time, but you preached about this a few times, I wasn't repentant, you know, I wasn't turning from my ways and turning towards God, I was just continually doing the same stuff over and over again, and it just, I got kind of depressed and just, yeah, so it was tough, but still had faith in Jesus and all that. And then I met Amber in college. We met online and we hit it off and started dating. And so, yeah, it was great. And we dated for a few months. And then I was out west, actually. Or I don't know if you want to tell your story at this point.
I can.
Okay. I feel like I've been talking for a while, so we can get to the...
Yeah, we can get to our thing afterwards. But I didn't grow up in a wonderful Christian household, and that can kind of be where it started. I was raised Lutheran, and I do have brief memories before my parents got divorced of going to church every week. They were members. Fun fact with Lutheran churches, they have little name tags. Always loved going to grab it from my parents. They got really mad one time because I lost it and you have to pay. But I always loved being there, but when they got divorced, we moved a little bit further away, and it was me and my sister, and my mom just couldn't take two Riley kids 50 minutes away to a different church. She tried to find one near us, and we didn't. So just kind of fell out of it. And kind of from there, just had a lot of instability in my life, which I think led to a lot of loneliness and a lot of, like, self-doubt that I couldn't fully work through as a preteen and teenager. And then there was also a lot of emotional and psychological abuse from my dad and my stepmom, leading to perfectionism. I had a revolving door of friendships, relationships throughout high school. And when I got to college, I, for some reason, decided to move 5.5 hours away. So the one stability in my life, my mom, was kind of no longer there. And I fell into a deep hole of doing all the wrong things. Again, revolving door relationships, drinking, again, perfectionism. So the second I didn't do anything right, just fell into this whole self-doubt, how to do everything perfectly, or else I'd get in trouble by my dad. And so that just led to a whole thing. The area I was in, Texas, very, very biblical, very Christian. However, a lot of people don't always act Christ-like. And I believe that led me away from turning to God instead of delving into the truth and delving into what's real, because us as Christians, we're always going to fail. And that took me a while to realize, because I also didn't want to fail. I kept going to church every once in a while, and then I'd be like, this isn't for me. I don't like what the pastor's saying. I've seen way too many, I don't want to say hypocritical, but people who weren't living very Christ-like, who would go to church Wednesdays and Sundays, and then I'd see, they'd bully me, they'd bully my friends, they'd drink, they'd go do things that weren't very Christ-like. So I kept having this notion of each time I wanted to build a relationship with God, I felt like I had to do it perfectly. I couldn't be one of those people that messed up. And ended up being very depressed. I almost flunked out of one of my classes, which that's a whole ordeal, and wasn't going to work. Ended up getting on medication. It was very rough, especially when COVID happened. And then I decided to move up to Ohio once I graduated to get my master's. And again, I kept going back to God. I knew there was something that I wanted to find there, but I kept feeling like I was doing it wrong and that wasn't okay. And I met Kedron, and he helped walk me through it. As you heard, he grew up in a very nice, loving household who showed the grace and truth of God, and he ended up being able to walk me through that. And for the first, I'd say 6 months solidly, we were doing a Bible plan every night together, over the phone, FaceTiming, talking through all of that, and it really helped me form a relationship and find God. And I wouldn't say that it was an initial change when I found Jesus, but it built up over time, and I could see myself changing. I wasn't having to take antidepressants. I was feeling more, not confident in myself, but confident that I could mess up and be a human and lean on God for those understandings and for those mistakes. Mm. So that was really nice. And then we got to live our life together. We still do Bible studies. It's just a little more rough with a child.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's good. A couple things, just as you guys were sharing your stories, that just came to my mind. Two very different paths, right? One, got a great start, right? Great foundation from parents who were believers. And yet, right, we all have to make our own choices. And even when we come to faith, sometimes there's a little bit of this, right? And it's not always just straight and narrow. We'd like it to be, but it just doesn't always work out that way because we're flawed and we're human, and praise God for his grace, right? You talked about that. You know, so you have one person who, you know, grew up in a Christian home, and then you have another person who really didn't have as much of that foundation, you know? And yet Jesus intervened in both of their stories and pursued you. And I think that was the other thing that I heard was, even though you may have gone wayward for a time, Jesus never does. And he's right there pursuing you, inviting you into relationship, inviting you into, hey, I know right now you're seeking your fulfillment in these other things, but I'm the one who is ultimately going to give that to you. And praise God, like, it's amazing to watch you two now and see that you have totally, you know, locked into that and believe that. And so I guess that's my next question is, all right, now you've been following Jesus and really pursuing him. What has changed? What's different in your life now since that day?
I'd say I'm a lot more patient with myself and with others. Hurts me to say, but in my past relationships, I was very quick to anger, very mean, very emotional, snap back, things like that. And same with my parents, any relationship, friendships, boyfriends, anything along that line, I would be very instant with my feelings. And I would act in a way that I was not proud of. Still do sometimes, but it's gotten a lot better. I've become a lot better at forgiving and thinking how the other person may feel, taking a moment to step back. Keidra and I do get into fights and arguments.
No.
I know we've been really good at...
No married couple gets into fights or arguments. Yeah.
But we've been very good at kind of taking a step back, and I think we've only gone to bed angry at each other maybe once or twice in our entire relationship. And even then, I think we'll kind of wake each other up at like 2 a.m. and be like, hey, sorry. But also talking through it and not just moving past it to move past it. We've gotten a lot better at talking through it. Him and Jesus have been my therapist. a lot, and I think that goes the same for both of us. We ended up having, you know, we have arguments, and then we'll talk to each other, we'll pray afterwards, and just continue to grow. And I think that's been a big thing, along with patience, big time. Yeah. But that's Jesus and a child.
Yeah. Yes. That'll do it. Yes, that'll do it.
I'd say for me, mostly like peace, and like definitely helping with depression. We ended up moving in together. We were not married at the time. And she got pregnant, so we have Evelyn now. And I should have been way more scared than I was in the moment, but I just, like, this peace just came over me, and it's like the peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, the Bible talks about. It just doesn't make any sense, you know, and it just filled me, and, like, it just was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, you know, and I wasn't as scared.
Oh, yeah, I was crying in the bathroom. He just sits down on the edge of the tub, and he's like, we're good. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Feels great.
Yeah. But yeah, and then one other thing I wanted to say about that is we had a chart we made, not a chart, but just like flashcards and index cards, and we'd write down things we were praying for. I highly recommend doing this. It's really cool. And we just taped it onto the fridge. We didn't even have magnets at the time. We just taped it, whatever. And then, you know, so every time you grab a snack or whatever, you see it and you pray over those things. And literally every single thing that we asked for, it had to be like 12-ish things, maybe?
I think, yeah, it was like three rows of four.
Yeah, and so everything God like, he doesn't always work like that, but he knew what we needed, and he gave us every single thing, checked everything off. Like, we wanted a house because the apartment we were living in wasn't great. We wanted to get married. We got married in March.
Yeah. Can I say something on that real quick? Because I think one of the coolest parts about their testimony and one of the most encouraging things to me about these two is when they got pregnant with Evelyn, Kedron came to me right away and shared that information with me. And then he said, and I'll never forget this, sitting in my office, he said, we want to get married right away and we want to make this right. And I just so appreciated that mindset, that perspective, and just the way that you guys, I mean, honestly, like, you want to talk about the way a person was, then you meet Jesus, and then things change. Like, that was just powerful, man. I just think that's such a powerful part of your testimony. And then they got baptized. I mean, it was, like, within
a year of each other.
I mean, it was very close. Like, right after that, they got baptized. And so, I mean, God just totally, you know, I just see God all over that whole situation, and you guys are sharing that as well. So I wanted to share that with everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's
actually, speaking of that happening pretty fast, obviously we got pregnant out of wedlock, and we were church hunting here. And we came in person, finally, here, and Justin's testimony, or not testimony, sermon, was about sexual immorality. So that was a fun little snidbit that happened. We were like, okay, we just found out that week. And we were like, we really like this church. We can finally go in person. And then we were like, okay, God's talking to us. And I think this is the place. So that was
Which is, again, really fun opportunity. Let me say, I think that's a testament to the God, the Holy Spirit working in their life. Because it could have been the opposite of that. They could have been like, we're out of here, you know, and been offended by that in some way. And, you know, I think when the Spirit really moves in your heart, you recognize the truth. And the truth is hurtful, but it's also so freeing at the same time, right? And hopefully you guys sensed the grace that was here as well, right? Nobody was like looking, I wasn't looking at you being like, oh, you guys are horrible people, you know? And look at what God has done. Yeah.
Also, I kind of forgot this, but when we found out we were pregnant, we decided to abstain until we got married. So while we had made the mistake before, we sat down and we were like, we'd even talked about it earlier in our relationship. We had said we were going to abstain, didn't. We got pregnant. We were like, we're gonna wait. We may have already went a little too far, but we're going to make this right. And we sat down, talked to the Lord, had that conversation with each other, and decided to wait and renew our that commitment to God and ourselves.
Awesome. Yeah, very cool. So last question. I've been growing in your faith now. I've been watching you guys for the last couple of years. You guys serve here so, you know, consistently and such, you know, they're amazing servants. But what are you doing right now? Like, maybe just some practical advice for everybody out here. What's helping you more than anything else in your growth with Christ right now, as you're now, you know, you're in that kind of discipleship process, that sanctification process. What do you guys, maybe one thing you guys are doing?
For me, I think community is huge. So, like, we got pretty involved here, like you were saying, and joined a life group and a huddle group when it was at that time. And it just really helped me grow and be with other believers and Christians who believe the same things you do, really push you. And then I think marriage is another one that, like, really helped me, at least. Because you put up those blockers and you can't see your own, you know, you have your blind spots. You can't see where you're falling short. And then that's where your partner comes in and helps you with that, like, hey, like, accountability, you know, like, this is going on. We need to talk about this. So that's been huge for me.
Big thing's been community. Our life group has been absolutely wonderful. Shout out to Lucas and Stephanie and Jess, who's not here, and Tess, who sadly left. But it's been wonderful to delve into that community. As I said, I grew up in a region where a lot of Christians, but some of them didn't act that way. So really delving into the church is something I wanted to do. And when we came here and there were all those opportunities, we went for it, and it helped us grow immensely. We did our best to stick to the plan, finish the Bible, still do that. We've been doing the path. Not as consistent as we like to this past 5 days, but whenever we do it, we talk to each other afterwards about what we thought. We're getting better at praying and talking at the table, bringing Evelyn into it, which I think has also helped us. Having those conversations, praying with her. She prays now. She says amen.
That's awesome.
She pointed out baby Jesus, carried him around for a while for the manger. So it's been beautiful to see that and being able to have, not, I don't know how to say it, like physical reassurance that we're doing kind of something right when it comes to showing who Jesus is and showing that faith to our daughter and seeing it mirrored back and hopefully continue to. But again, it's been a lot of more communication, that accountability, talking through it, talking to Jesus. I find myself sitting in the car, no music on, driving, praying, taking breaks at work. So just a lot more communication.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I love that Evelyn is growing up in your home. That really, I mean, generational change, right? So their lives were changed, and now their children's lives are going to be changed. And hopefully their children and their children and their children. That's the power of the gospel. So grateful, really grateful for you two. Thank you guys so much for sharing your story. Can we give it up for Kedren and Amber? I can take your mics for you. Thank you, guys. Sure. You can leave the one. I'll sit on that one. So to close, guys, I did want to share some scripture with you this morning. And ultimately, you know, we hear a story like that, we hear a testimony like that, and hopefully that's encouraging to you. Man, it's so encouraging to me. We all have a story. Even if we grew up in a Christian home and our testimony is we never strayed and we always stayed close to the Lord, and that's a story, and it's an amazing story. Praise God that he saved you from doing a lot of things that might have been really destructive in your life. So you have a story. And I think the sentiment that I want to get across this morning is we head into this new year. We all have relationships. We all have people in our lives who don't know Christ. Maybe you're going to have opportunities this year, family members, friends, maybe even just somebody you randomly bump into at the gym or at the grocery store. You may have opportunities to share that story this year. And the change in your story might be the change in somebody else's story. And if you, you know, kind of take something away from this today, that's what I want you to take away. The change in your story, God intervened. It might not be as dramatic as Paul getting blinded on the road to Damascus, but the change in your story ultimately could lead to the change in somebody else's story. And so we got to tell it. We got to be bold. We got to be willing to sometimes look a little bit foolish and go, yeah, here's some of the things I did and here's some of the mistakes I made, but I'm so grateful for the grace of God. And so let me read this to you and then we'll kind of close this moment out. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans 10, 13. If we call on the name of the Lord, if we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be saved. But then listen to what Paul says here. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? You can't call on him if they don't know who he is, if they don't believe in him. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Someone telling, sharing that testimony. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? We have to go, right, to those people. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. When we share our testimony, it is a beautiful thing. When we share the good news of the gospel, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so we have a vision statement here. We are all about bridging the gap between the hopelessly lost and the hope of Jesus. My prayer for us as a church as we head into this year is that in every possible way, that would just be front of mind, that we would be seeking to do that as a church.